I've been asking myself a very hard question these last few weeks and months since this pandemic started. Do I have what it takes to fulfill the calling of God on my life? Do I really have the strength? Do I really have the faith? Do I really have the maturity to please God and not to stumble, not to fail the Lord? You know, it's not just the person who begins the race that is commended by God. It's the one who finishes strong. Somebody say amen. God wants all of us to finish strong. And he will be with you in that process. God is not asking you to be a Christian or live the Christian life for him. He's asking you to live the Christian life with him. With him in your heart. With him as your Lord. With him as your inspiration and as your example. I want to speak about the next few weeks, the measure of maturity. The measure of maturity. How do we measure our spiritual maturity? Turn to your neighbor and say, how do we measure our spiritual maturity? Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Excuse me. Therefore, verse 1, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. Everybody say that with us. Let us press on to maturity. One more time. Let us all press on to maturity, not starting again with the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. When we started this journey, we realized that nothing else could save us. So we realized that we were sinners. We realized that just being religious and going through religious rituals was not enough to save us. We understood that only God could save us, only Jesus, not by works, right, that we have done. It's only by his mercy that he has saved us. We also turned away from the things that we knew were sinful and the things that we knew were corrupt and the things that we knew would not be pleasing to God. But here in this scripture, Paul, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, we're not exactly sure, was saying that's just the beginning of your faith. He says, let's not go back to the beginning of laying a foundation again of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. We knew that when we were born again, that we had to turn away from the things that had no merit, the things that had no value in our life. Sin had no value. Confidence in our own ability to be perfect in God's sight had no value. Religious displays and religious rituals did not save us. They had no value. Sin had no value. And then faith towards God was the beginning. We turned away from ourselves and we turned towards God in a confident belief that God could not only start our salvation, but he could finish us and help us to go all the way to the end. Somebody say amen. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But Paul is saying here, don't go back and have to restart your Christian life. Go on to maturity. Go on to maturity. You know, when you think about physical maturity, we often think about a child growing up. And, you know, how many of you remember parents putting a ruler on your head to measure you on the door frame of the house and put a pencil on the door to see how much you've grown? This little young man right here, you probably had that happen. Look how much you've grown. Amen? Amen. That's Nathan, is it? Yes, Nathan. And he has grown a lot since he's been coming. And but, you know, we measure the children's stature, and we want to make sure that they're growing taller and taller and so on. And we have other ways of measuring our physical maturity. But there's a whole lot more to growing up than just growing tall. How many of you know that children have to learn about having good judgment? Children have to learn how to be less self-centered. Children start to realize that the whole world doesn't revolve around them. Amen? It's not all me, 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 like Pastor Angela was saying before. Feed me, take care of me, make me happy. Children have to learn how to be disciplined. Children have to learn how to make wise decisions. You wouldn't say a child is mature even if they were 8 or 9 or 10 years old, if they didn't have any of these other characteristics. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? In other words, we don't just look at physical growth, we look at their character. We look at their ability to look beyond themselves and start to have more of an outwardly focused life, to be able to give back, to be able to contribute, to be able to work hard, to be disciplined. But today we're talking about spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. What does it take to be considered spiritually mature? The question I'm asking myself in these last few weeks is, have I gained enough of God's wisdom? Am I secure in His love? Do I still need all the attention? Do I still, you know, get self-focused and start feeling sorry for myself every time a trial comes up, or every time something difficult, every time I run into some resistance, do I start saying, oh, woe is me, and, you know, I don't catch the breaks. There's always, God is always picking on me, you know. Some of you are laughing. How many of you have ever felt like Job? Dear Lord, have mercy. Have we gained any discipline? You know, the Bible says physical training counts for something, but spiritual training counts a lot more. Hallelujah. Because it has the promise not only for this life, but in the life to come. Hallelujah. God is challenging the church to be grown up. Turn to your neighbor and say, grow up spiritually. If I were to just say to you, you know, if I come up to you after the service and I said, sister, grow up, you would be very offended at me. Brother, grow up, you would say, pastor, why are you talking to me like that? But if I say to you, sister, grow up spiritually, that's what a pastor's supposed to do. Somebody say amen. Brother, grow up spiritually. That's what a pastor's supposed to say. That's my job. That's my job. Hallelujah. Do we have the characteristics of somebody who is spiritually mature? What are those measures? What are the measures that show a person is spiritually mature? Or to put it another way, what is your spiritual age? Sometimes we say, well, I've been saved for 3 years. I've been saved for 5 years. There are some people that are saved for 30 years, and how many of you know they're not spiritually mature? Come on now, somebody say amen. Have you ever met somebody who says, oh, I've been walking with the Lord for 40 years, but they don't act that way? Come on now. They don't act that way. See, your spiritual age is different than just the number of years that you've been born again. We all grow at a slightly different rate. And I felt like God was putting the measure up against me in these last few months and say, David, do you have what it takes to face this crisis? Do you have what it takes to go through this transitional time in the church? Do you have what it takes to encourage others even when you're fighting your own battle? Come on now. Do you have what it takes to be grown up, to be mature, to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold of eternal life? Hallelujah. Am I more me-centered than God-centered? Am I more self-conscious than God-conscious? These are hard questions. Do I keep getting tripped up by the same ways of the world, the flesh, and the devil? Don't raise your hand. But how many times have we been tripped up by the same test, by the same temptation, by the same bad behavior? You know, behavior comes, bad behaviors start as choices and then becomes pattern, becomes a pattern. And we've got to fight those things. We've got to roll up our sleeves. There are people around the world who are suffering 10 times more than we are. There are people in countries that don't have adequate clean water. They don't have a supply of food right now. There are people that don't have the medical facilities that we have. What if things got worse in America? What if in America we have a situation that they have in Cuba or Venezuela or some other countries. Would we be able to have the backbone to stand up for Jesus? I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at me. I'm asking myself. You know, a lot of people say, oh, sure, Pastor, I would die for Jesus. But he's not asking us right now to give our life, physical life. But he is asking us to live for Jesus. Don't worry about dying for Jesus right now. Thank God we're not at that place. It could happen because it's happening in China. It's happening in India. It's happening in Nigeria. It's happening all over the world. Christians are being persecuted. Pastors are being arrested. Churches are literally being blown up. I read an account recently of two teenage girls about to step into a church in a closed country, in a country that was predominantly Muslim. And as they were about to walk in the church blew up. Somebody planted a bomb in the church. And then we complain. I complain if the food is not hot enough. Come on now. How grown up are we? Who is the brave person? I was watching a movie. My wife and I were watching a movie about World War II. And a man who lost all of his friends. He was a navigator. He was an airman. And he survived the war, but all of his friends had perished. And his girlfriend was saying to him, you're a hero. What a brave man you are. And he said, how could I be a hero when I came back alive and they all died? Whew. Who's the hero? Who is the hero? Haven't they been brave men and women, not only in the military, but Christian missionaries, people, pastors, and others who have given their life for the cause of the gospel? Now, God, again, I'm not asking this morning, are you willing to give your physical life? Because that's not what we're facing in this moment. But what I am asking is, would you be willing to die to self? Would you be willing to stop being a baby Christian? Oh, come on now. Who still loves me? Two people raised their hand. For those of you watching by Facebook, I got my work cut out for me here, Brother Lanre. And many of you are going to still love Pastor David. All right, most of them raised their hand. Thank you, my sweet girl. Pastor sweet girl. Baby Christians. Baby Christians. Again, I would not preach this word, Brother Andrew. Those of you who preach the word, you know that the first criteria for preaching a message is, do you believe it yourself? And are you convinced that you can live it yourself? You won't be very authentic, and you won't sound very sincere and convincing if you're preaching stuff that you don't even believe or you don't even check yourself out. So I'm asking myself this morning, and I'm asking you, am I grown up? Am I mature as a Christian? Jesus said, whoever would be my follower must deny himself. I'm going to say it again. Jesus said, whoever would be my follower must deny himself. If we're just living for self, we're missing the boat. Somebody say amen. Pick up your cross and follow me. Follow his example. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, I am not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. There was a man who became ill but loved Jesus, and he had a favorite scripture that he would love to recite. And he would always, when people would visit him at the hospital, he would always recite this scripture. I have believed and am persuaded that he is able, how many of you know this scripture? To keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I have believed, say it together, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. As the man got older and more sick, and he began to become more feeble in his mind, he couldn't remember the whole verse. And so he just would recite part of it, believed, he is able, keep that which I've committed unto him. And then as he became more sick, he would only recite that he is able to keep that which I commit. And finally, he said, unto him. And then finally, just before his death, he could only say one word, him, him. And he would point with his finger, him. That's all he remembered. Him. It's about him. Somebody get excited about Jesus in this place. Him. That's all that matters. Today I want to leave you with the first part of this message, which is, are we mature in our faith? There are three ways that I want to challenge you to be mature. Mature in your faith, mature in your love, and mature in your obedience. Mature in your faith, mature in your love, and mature in your obedience. But today we're just going to talk about the first one. Are we mature in our faith? And when I say faith, there are two ways I want you to understand that. When I say in the faith, that has to do with the body of information that we believe as Christians. In other words, theology, in the beliefs of the Bible, the beliefs of the Christian faith, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. There's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ's death and resurrection, the second coming. Those are the beliefs of the faith. That's one thing. And I bring this up because in a conversation I was having with Brother Harry Medrano, who teaches our young people, he was saying that it is so important for this next generation to have biblical literacy. We have a whole generation that can hardly quote a Bible verse. Have you ever seen those things on television? They go, the man on the street, and he interviews somebody. What are the Ten Commandments? I don't know, you know. Who is Queen Esther? I don't know. Is she a rock singer? They have no idea. They have no idea. Who is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I don't know. Is that some band that... So we need to be mature in the faith, which means we need to read our Bible. We need to know what Christians believe. And we also need to know why we believe what we believe. Amen? Because we need to give an answer to those who ask us about the hope that lies within us. So we need to be mature in the faith, the things of the Bible, the doctrine, the theology of the Bible. But we also need to be mature in the faith of living it out and putting our hope and trust in the Word of God, putting our trust in Jesus. That's the faith that we need to exercise every day in our daily life. So we need to have maturity in the faith, but also maturity in our living by faith. Are we living it? Is our faith able to measure up to the times we're living in? Will your faith stand the test of time? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews 6, 12, in paraphrased, says, so don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. Don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of other believers who have not only received the promises, but because of their strong faith, they have patiently endured. Everybody say, patiently endured. Having a mature faith requires patient endurance. You know, like that person said, Lord, I want the faith of Job, and I need it right now. You're not going to get the faith of Job that fast. So now, just in case you're wondering if you can do this, I want to declare to you this morning that every one of us can do this. We can all do this. God would never ask us to do something that was impossible. He wants us to do what we can do, and he'll do the rest. Amen? So here's how it goes. We are born of the faith. It is by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest that anyone should boast. So we're born of faith, but we also are responsible to grow in faith. So your faith should be stronger than when you were in Sunday school or in the kids' church. If your faith is only, you know, the size of, you know, a child, where, you know, all you can think about is that, you know, your parents will take care of you and you'll get your next meal or whatever, God is looking for us to have more grown-up faith. And so in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, let your roots grow down deep in Christ and let your lives be built upon him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving. I want to read that again. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Colossians 2, verse 7. Very important. Let your roots grow deep. In other words, I have faith, but are my roots going down deep? That's the challenge that I'm putting out this morning. Yes, you have faith. You were born again by faith. You're saved by faith. But we're also supposed to grow in faith by continuing to live by faith. Let your lives be built upon him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. The faith I'm talking about is not the same thing as good luck. It's not just the worldly optimism. Oh, just believe in something. You ever talk to somebody and they say to you, well, just believe. Your faith is only as good as what you put it in. Amen? If, come on now. You know the story about the man who wanted to take a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls. And this is a true story. He put a wire, a heavy gauge wire, across the falls. And he walked across back and forth. And then he was about to take a wheelbarrow and put it on the wire and walk across Niagara Falls. And the crowd was cheering and going crazy. You know, they were so excited. He says, how many of you believe I can do this? Yay, I can do this. How many of you would like to get in the wheelbarrow and let me carry you across? Nobody. Nobody raised their hand. Because they didn't have that level of faith. You see what I'm saying? But my faith is in the living God, the maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Who has never failed. Hallelujah. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, the one who sustains all things by the mighty word of his power. My faith and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I trust in his holy name. How about you this morning? Hallelujah. Faith grows like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it grows. So God is expecting us to exercise our faith. When someone calls you with a prayer request, use your faith muscle. Don't just say a prayer, but also believe. Pastor Angela brought this out a couple of weeks ago. When you're praying about something, also exercise your faith that you believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine. Hallelujah. We train ourselves, you know, with weights to get stronger. As you can see, it took me years to build these great muscles. Don't any of you men out there be intimidated right now. But faith requires exercise. It requires you using it. Hebrews chapter 6, it says, those who are mature have, by reason of use, in other words, by continual use, trained themselves to discern between what is good and what is wrong, what is right and what is wrong. Hebrews chapter 5, excuse me, in Hebrews 5. Hebrews says also, the faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I like the way it says this in the Amplified Bible. Faith perceives as a fact that which is not understood by our physical senses. Faith perceives what is not, as a fact, what is not understood by our physical senses. So my question in closing this morning is, what do you see when you see a situation? Do you see it as a terrible obstacle? Oh, here we go again. My day is ruined. I'm not going to be able to handle this phone call. I can't do another thing. Do we see the potential of what God can do? Amen? Remember when Elisha's servant woke up one morning in Dothan and the army of the, was it the Syrian army, I believe it was surrounding them. And his servant woke up and looked out the window and said, yikes! He says, we're surrounded! What did Elijah say? He said, Lord, open my servant's eyes. Open his eyes. What do you see? What do you see? Turn to your neighbor and say, what do you see? Do you see with eyes of faith? Faith is what you see. If you're constantly seeing the negative, and if you're constantly seeing problems, and if you're constantly seeing people as having, you know, being irritating and having no potential, you got to believe that people can be what God says they can be. You got to believe that we can become the church that God sees. Hallelujah. Open my servant's eyes. And he opened his eyes again, and all of a sudden he saw the chariots of God, armies of Israel, the heavenly armies. Hallelujah. The angels of God surrounding them. Hallelujah. Faith is what you see. Faith is how you think. As you keep growing in faith, you think differently. You think differently. You begin to understand that God has an agenda. God has some things he wants to get done. Somebody say amen if you believe in what I'm talking about. There's some things that God wants, and no devil in hell is going to stop the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I know that things may look bad sometimes. I understand the enemy will throw up a smoke screen, and he'll throw his worst darts at you. But I have a greater faith in what God's agenda is. Hallelujah. I know that God has a preferred future for my life. God has a vision for my life that's greater than the devil's attempts to blur that vision. Hallelujah. What do you think? Turn to your neighbor and say, how are you thinking? There was a woman in the Bible who had been sick for 12 years. Hemorrhaging. Not a very pleasant situation. And she wasn't even allowed to be near anyone because she was considered unclean. But she moved through the crowd. She saw Jesus. And the Bible said these beautiful words. She said within herself, she thought to herself, if I can only touch him, I know I will be made whole. Hallelujah, her faith won the day. Hallelujah. When those men brought the crippled man to Jesus, the four men who carried that lame man, remember in the Bible? Jesus said when he saw their faith, not the paralyzed man, but when he saw the faith of those four men who are carrying that man. The next one is what you say with your lips. Very important. How many of you know that it's very easy to have a negative speech pattern, and once you start getting negative, it's all downhill from there. Somebody say amen. But Jesus said in Mark 11, if you should say whatever you pray for, when you pray, if you should say to this mountain, and believe in your heart, be thou moved and be cast into the sea, and you believe that you will have whatever you say, then you will have whatever you say. Hallelujah. You need to speak to your mountains. We need to speak the truth. Hallelujah. 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 That God's word is greater. Hallelujah. Than any argument of Satan. We're supposed to tear down arguments and demolish strongholds by the word of our faith, by the word of our mouth. Amen? And finally, what you do in obedience is so important. What's the last thing God has been asking you to do in your growth process? Let's go back to the original thought of this message. It's about growing mature as a believer. Part of that has to do with our obedience. We all have a calling to grow in our obedience. I want to be more obedient to God now than I was when I was 5 years old in my faith. I mean, I'm not talking about my physical age, but in my spiritual age. And when you obey God through life's trials and you put Him first, your faith becomes stronger because you see how true it is that God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. He's come through before. I see him. He did it before. We sang it before, Brother Matthew, and I know He'll do it again. He did it before, and I know He'll do it again. Hallelujah. Our faith is more precious to God than gold. You may not have a lot of gold, but if you have a lot of faith, the Bible says you are more precious and your faith is more precious than gold. 1 Peter 1:7, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Everybody say that with me. Your faith is more precious than gold. Will you answer the call to be mature in the faith? Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God a praise right now. Just everybody give Him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We want to have a growing faith, Lord. We want to have a mature faith. We want our faith to be able to measure up to the times we're living in. Hallelujah. And perchance, Lord, there's somebody here who's saying, I can't do this. I'm not that strong. This doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. Somebody say amen. It's a process. You take small steps. We used to have an expression, my wife and I, bite-sized pieces of faith. You know, like the candy is bite-sized. And sometimes God's asking you to take a small step of faith. And another step of faith. And another step of faith. Until pretty soon you'd be like George Mueller. Remember George Mueller, that man from Bristol, England, who prayed for his orphanage and thousands of children were fed. And he had no physical means of support. This is a true story. And fed hundreds of thousands of children, hundreds of thousands of meals, just by praying on his knees and asking God to send the money, send the supply. Hallelujah. Sometimes they would be at the breakfast table and the children were all assembled and there was no food. And he said, well, we're just going to pray. As they prayed, all of a sudden there was a food wagon outside that broke down, the wheel of the wagon broke down. And all the milk was going to go sour. They gave all the milk and all the food to the orphanage because it just happened to break down in front of the orphanage. Somebody get excited. How many of you know God has many ways of honoring your faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's use our faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith says, I believe that God is more real than my natural senses. Somebody say that with me. God is more real than my natural senses. But in the spirit, I see the realities of heaven. Hallelujah. In the spirit, in the word, I recognize that great things are possible to those who believe. Are you with me this morning? Great things are possible for those who believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Can we sing that again then, Brother Matthew? Yes. Let's sing this chorus again. Amen. Just the chorus. Yeah. No, not this one. The one about, I know you'll do it again. You'll do it again. Use our faith.
I've seen you running. where there was no way. And I believe.
Do you believe this morning?
I've seen you do it.
Say it again.
I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I've seen you do it again. Made a way where there was no way. And I believe. I'll see you do it again.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I see you do it.
Come on, let's praise
again.
Him. Praise his faith in action. Let's praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to praise him beyond the challenges. Praise him above the noise of this world. Praise him more than the complaints and the challenges that you face and the trials and the difficulties. Just praise him with all of your heart this morning. Come on, let's give him a praise in this house this morning. Lord, you've brought me this far. Say it with me. You've brought me this far, and I know you'll do it again. I know you'll do it again, Lord. Hallelujah. I believe, Lord. I believe. Hallelujah. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe
you do it again. Made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do
it. Amen. I want us to do something right now. I want you to picture right now some obstacle, some challenge, some step that needs to be taken, some prayer that needs to be answered. I want you to picture that for a moment, but I want you to see that as something that is movable. Amen. Something that God can move. Hallelujah. Like a mountain that God is pushing out into the ocean, because he's done it in the past. I want you to believe right now. Just confess with your mouth. Say, Lord, I believe you are greater than my problem. Come on. Just confess in your heart. God, help my faith to be strong, Lord. Help me to grow in maturity, Lord. Lord, I confess that you're greater than my need. You're greater than this stubborn problem in my life. You're greater than my own thought patterns, Lord, and the negativity in my life. You are greater, Lord. I'm going to immerse myself in the Word of God. I'm going to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. I'm going to use my faith muscles. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord, to have the measure of maturity that I need to have to face these times. If you agree with me, say amen. Lord, I want to have the measure of maturity to face the times we're living in. Put your hand up right now. If that's you, put your hand up. Lord, I want to have the maturity to face the times that we're living in. My hand is up. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Pastor Angela, come on up and give us the benediction, if you would. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hallelujah. When Pastor asked if we agreed to put our hand up, I had two hands up asking the Lord to help me have the maturity to live the way I need to live in these days. Something in the time clock, I just feel a prophetic utterance right now. Something in the time clock of heaven has changed. Something has changed in the atmosphere and in the timing of the Lord's return. I'm not one to give dates or not even, it says that Jesus didn't even know the dates that the Father had appointed. So I'm not saying, but I will say this. The Bible says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And the Bible says that the sons of Issachar discern the times. And that's what we need to do. We need to discern the times. We can't just go turn the clock back and go back to the good old days. Yes, God has great things. I'm not a calamity holler. I believe we're going to see the best days yet. I believe we're going to see miracles. I believe that we're going to see people getting out of wheelchairs. Oh, I believe that we're going to see people being come to the kingdom of God by the thousands. But understand this. Discern the times, the Bible says, because the days are evil. Don't just wait to get through the pandemic so you can run to the beach again. Yes, I want to go too. But I want the Lord to show me. And I want to live in faith for this time, for this season, because something has changed. Something has changed. Have you ever realized somebody living in the past? They lived so much in the past 20 years ago, and they were a football star, and they still talk about that. That they never matured, hun. They never matured past that point. I don't want to be that one. I don't want to be that one that says, Lord, I remember the days when I was at the altar and I prayed so much that I couldn't get up. I want to know what God is doing now. I want His Spirit to move on me now. I want Him to speak to me in dreams and in other ways. I want the gifts of the Spirit to be activated in the church. We need them all. There's not just a pastor. There's not just a preacher. There's all the gifts are needed in the body of Christ. Look to your brother and sister and say, I need you. I need you. I need you, Matthew. We need you. We need you. We need you. Hallelujah. God is doing something tremendous. Something has changed, but I believe in the Spirit it will change for the better. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we take this word today, Lord. It's very important, as Pastor said, Lord, that if we are going to mature, if we're going to be discerning, Lord, that we have the elementary things in the word, Lord. That we are biblically based, that we are foundationally rooted in the Word of God, that we understand, Lord, the meaning of the body of Christ and the necessity of the power of the Holy Spirit, that we understand the plan of salvation and that our mandate is to be missional, God, not to just be stewing and worried, Lord. Lord, help us to grow in our faith. So we could take thousands into the kingdom in these last days. Lord, may many, many, many be won to the kingdom of God. And I believe, Lord, that you will supply dramatic miracles, Lord, as signs of your goodness, of signs of your coming, Lord. And help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me to be a woman of God. Lord, I know when the trials come, sometimes my faith gets so shaken. But Lord, help me to know that you are doing something good and you will enable us individually and corporately as Catalyst International Church to do everything you have purpose for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you as you are entering the mission field. As we go from this church, as you leave even this message on Facebook, you're about to enter the mission field. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Just want to give a quick reminder for Thursday to come and honor Sister Margaret at the Memory Gardens in Osceola, and also to support Brother Jerome, who's been such a faithful man. God bless you all. We'll see you Wednesday night on Facebook and in person if you're here. God bless you.